Good morning. It's Wednesday, 27th of January. Our first reading for the day is Genesis 44 and 45. I'm going to read to you from Brother Harry Whittaker's book, Joseph the Saviour. And this particular passage is about chapter 45. Come near to me, I pray you. It was as though he was beseeching their forgiveness. How long would it take them to learn not to judge their brother by their own standard? I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. It was this surpassing faith in the ways of God's providence which had kept Joseph sane through the incomprehensible labyrinth of past experience. And he sought to inculcate the same wholesome outlook in the minds of them all. He went to his brother Benjamin and greeted him now with all the affection he would fain have lavished on him from the first moment, then to each of the others in turn, with a greeting, the sincerity and warmth of which was not to be gainsaid. With softened hearts they wept together. And after that, his brethren talked with him. Unwilling at first to believe the reality of Joseph's forgiveness, they had held back. But now all doubts were swept away, and their tongues gave full expression to their gladness, their thankfulness, and their great eagerness to know more. But the practical mind of Joseph, the organiser, took over. There are yet 5 years of famine to run their gruelling course, and only here in Egypt is the food that will save you all. Then lose no time. Get you back to Canaan. Teach my father, he will learn faster than you have done, that God brought me here and prospered me, so that thus there might be salvation for you all. From start to finish, the angel of the Lord has been in control. It is he that has brought me to this position of influence and power. Joseph lightly dismissed their conscience-stricken worries about past wickedness, at the same time refusing to take any personal credit for his own achievements. Without delay, a complete migration of the entire family of Israel must be organised. They could all settle in the land of Goshen, not very far from Joseph's palace, and in country as suitable to their flocks and herds as could be found in all the land of Egypt. The story of Joseph's reunion with his brothers went through the land like wildfire and made a great impression, for the ability and wisdom of this administrator had gained him nationwide esteem. Pharaoh, too, kindly disposed towards people from Canaan, because his own origins were probably from that country, took a strong personal interest in the project and promised every possible help for the family of his great favourite. So the brothers went off, equipped with any amount of food and also with wagons and garments for all, so that the migrating families might arrive in their new country in best Egyptian style and not as Semitic nomads. Joseph had one last word to say to them. For all his excitement and warmth of affection for them, his shrewd mind foresaw problems which he would fain dispose of in advance. See that ye fall not out by the way, he warned them. From every point of view, and especially that of moral standing, he could say this with authority. He feared that on the way home there might be recriminations about the guilt and involvement of each. There might be argument as to who should explain this amazing new situation to Jacob, and just how their necessary confession of guilt should be made to him. So Joseph sent them on their way with a kindly but firm reminder that their new good fortune was not to be spoiled by bad side effects. Thank you for listening.